Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everyone.
Hello one and all.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
Yeah, that's true. And We just watched Birds of Prey.
Boids of Prey.
Or how I stopped worrying and learned to love the bomb.
I even fucked
that up.
Can I help you?
Why, yes, you can. I'm here to report a terrible crime.
And what terrible crime is that?
This one.
No, you destroyed it. No, okay. That's exactly what it's called.
All right. I want to start by saying I just read that this has like the worst opening weekend of
so
any
far,
DC
yeah.
so far.
Well, if Friday numbers continue, yeah.
How did you like Birds of Prey?
I enjoyed it. The script is a huge mess, but everyone's doing such a good job, and the action scenes are pretty well staged that I didn't mind that the script was so fucked up.
All right, so you saying that,
mm-hmm.
I didn't notice any script problems because I was enjoying the film a lot.
Right.
What do you mean?
We can get into it, but there's a lot of like the first half of the movie is nuts, like from a scripting standpoint. Like it keeps rewinding and then going on different threads.
Oh yeah, I just figured, unlike Suicide Squad, this was clearly done on purpose. I feel like they knew like, okay, we're not going to have another Suicide Squad on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tell a non-linear story, but
yeah.
I will say that when they rewind and then they come back, it felt on purpose when they were doing that.
It was definitely on that. Was on purpose, and that's not like the biggest. That's not my biggest complaint about how janky it is. I think that makes perfect sense to tell a non-linear story, especially considering the main character is Harley Quinn.
Sure.
But in the second half of the movie, there's a lot of like you can tell they did extensive reshoots. Like there's a scene when Harley and the kid Cassandra Cain are sitting in her apartments, and the cops knock on the door.
That was the only scene that really bugged me.
Like, and it that scene begins by Huntress coming in downstairs and asking where Harley is, and then it follows, it does the thing where it shows us Huntress's origin, and then it cuts to them upstairs in the apartment, and then the police knock on the door, and as they're going out the window, somebody shoots a bazooka into their apartment, and it explodes. And then the cops arrive again.
Yes,
and then
I
also Huntress just vanished. Like she's,
and
like,
also
we don't
the guy who shot the thing through the window vanishes.
Yes, he does.
It seems like the beginning of an action scene, mm-hmm. and then they jump out the window or whatever they do. It gets blown up, and then it just sort of becomes another scene. And I remember thinking, like, wait, what happened to all the people?
Yeah, there was a lot of characters here, and they're all gone.
That was the only point that really bothered me. I'll say, all right, just again, I want to reiterate, I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed it definitely more than the Joker movie, that's for damn sure.
Oh, yeah.
The performances are fantastic. Margot Robbie's killing it. Ewan McGregor's killing it.
Everybody's having a blast. Yeah, everybody's having so much fun.
The action is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I would say the problems with the script aren't nearly as bad as other movies.
And the
characters made, like, yeah, I found it more, suspension of disbelief wise, I found it more believable than Joker. Like Joker's plot I found stupid.
Right, and that's the different. Like, recognize that there's some plot jankiness here, and I'll get into a little bit more of it later. And that clearly it's the result of reshoots and things being re-edited and stuff. But the movie was so entertaining and endearing that I forgave the film for that.
Yes.
Like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just didn't care.
Whereas
something like Joker, where it's like the movie is boring and stupid, and the plot is ridiculous. So it's like, all right,
yeah. And I say that because this movie did have to win me over. I didn't go into this movie wanting, like it's not that I wanted to hate it or wanted to like it. I really like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, and that's pretty much my association with the character. And this movie immediately made me think, oh, I'm not going to like this, because I'm realizing something. I can't fucking stand this fourth wall breaking text on the screen narration thing that's happening.
It's very trite now. It seems contrived when it happens.
It's the freeze frame. Here's their name. Here's the stats. Hey, you know me. Let me tell you my story. And there's like an animated beginning. And I didn't think that any of that was necessary. Like you can tell, you know who she is from the movie. It seemed like they were scared that people wouldn't know who this character was.
No, I think that was just an effort to make the movie stand on its own.
Yeah.
They do the same thing that they do in Aquaman, where Aquaman makes a passing reference to Justice League, but other than that, it has nothing to do with it.
Right, but this did a whole animated sequence explaining like her entire life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, why do we need that? It comes out in the movie. She says it to the girl in the grocery store. The girl sees, like,
She makes her references to it.
It felt like the movie wasn't confident that we would understand this character, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there needs to be a little bit of context because of the Joker, and it's about her kind of splitting herself from the Joker as her own person.
Yeah.
And so it is,
I don't know,
important.
I think you'd be surprised how little the average moviegoer knows about Harley Quinn. So
yeah,
I don't think
that's true.
Because they do just throw us right in, and I don't mind like a 90-second animated thing. Like, okay, here's my backstory. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind that.
I guess they could have done that, and I guess what I'm getting to is, if they could have found a way to get rid of the whole narration stuff, the whole we're gonna have the character explaining everything that's happening and who everybody is, and like it feels old at this point.
Yes, but I feel like they couldn't just, like, the movie is designed to be that. Like, I don't think the nonlinear aspects work without her narration.
Yeah.
So it's to cut all that stuff out, they'd have to fundamentally remake the movie.
I don't think so. I think they could rewind back and it says, like, you know, X amount of days earlier.
That's true.
And that's it. Like, and that's what, like, I feel like they... Whenever a movie does this, it's gotten old, and it feels like they think their audience is really dumb.
I don't know about this
like narration, like, "Hey, I'm gonna inject some jokes in that." I'm saying this all because I really liked this movie,
mm-hmm.
and so it didn't get in the way ultimately.
No,
I hate that device, and this movie has it. It's covered in it, and
yes.
I still really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I think it is a tired kind of trope at this point, but I think the way they made this movie, the narration, it's kind of necessary because a lot of her character is her internal monologue.
Yeah.
So it's
in the comic, you mean?
Well, no, just the way she's presented in this movie, like it's like just like let it telling us like explaining how she's feeling about the breakup and stuff, like, because we don't see it. You know,
we do see it. We see her throwing the fucking knives at the Joker thing. That's what I mean is the movie gives you everything you need. I'm pretty sure. If you watch it again and like block out the narration, my suspicion is that DC, because they're very bad at leading the way.
Right. They're following the parade. They're not leading it.
And they wanted a Deadpool.
Yeah.
And that said, I thought it was really good, and I don't think it was just, oh, we're doing Deadpool. Whoever they got to write it and the performances and stuff, it didn't feel like they were doing Deadpool.
No, because she doesn't... It's fourth wall breaking in that she's talking to us, but it's not like a meta film.
No, exactly. It's not like... They didn't make jokes about Martha and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm really glad they didn't. And it, the only similarities it has is that it's very gory, and the character every now and then, there's a part, I think, where she literally winks at the audience.
At the very end, yeah, but it's like...
Oh, and there's also when she's like, she gets really lucky, and she's hanging off that awning.
Yeah, there's a couple of moments like that. I mean, but that
again, I didn't mind it, because I liked the movie.
that happens in Goodfellas as well. So it's like,
yeah,
like these we have accepted the conceit that the main character is telling us, the audience, a story.
Yeah, these are all tropes that if this movie was bad would really piss me off.
Right.
But since I really liked the movie, I'm only thinking about them now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of this podcast, you know, I wanted to at least point that out. And the fact mm-hmm. that this movie, I think, still overcomes all of that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It's just surprising, because I think maybe that's why it's not doing good, is people are expecting that. They think it's going to be...
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It was tracking better than what it's doing, but like I don't know. I don't want to waste too much time talking about how well it's doing, because maybe it'll pick up today.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe when this comes out Monday, it won't mm-hmm. matter.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I think, one of my favorite DC films.
Yeah, probably.
Of recent, I mean, of this era, of this mm-hmm. universe.
Yeah.
They got the John Wick guys to do the action, right?
Yes, they did. And you can super tell.
You can, but it's not... Again, this is what I...
It's not...
It's
like,
not
it doesn't...
John Wick action. It's John Wick action. It's like, oh shit, that action is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But it feels like a different character than John Wick. The fighting...
The Huntress has some John Wick stuff, like when we first see her.
Of course she would. Yeah.
Right, that it makes sense for her character, but like the fucking bat stuff with Harley,
that was so amazing.
Yeah.
And again, it's to their characters. Like all the fighting matches the characters.
Yeah, and like Black Canary is just like kicking the shit out of people.
Yeah. And obviously like there's the fact that everybody in this universe can fight really well, but it's like, yeah, of course.
Well, Black Canary is a superhero. Harley,
they're all superheroes.
Yeah, Harley just, you know, yeah, they're all superheroes, exactly. But like, I had heard somebody at work complaining that like Harley's suddenly like the world's greatest fighter. I'm like, no, she's always been like that. Like in she does like gymnastic flips and kicks the shit out of people. Like that's
sure. I didn't mind that because I have no outside context for that. So they show her as a good fighter in this, and I'm like, oh, okay, she's a good fighter.
Yeah,
it wasn't like she was a bad fighter in the movie and then became a good fighter.
No. And she was, she was like that in Suicide Squad as well. So it's like, this can't be your first introduction. Like, that's kind of like part of her function as far as the Joker's concerned. Like, the Joker doesn't want to fight people. He's like, no, Harley, go get them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess if... yeah, also, who gives a shit?
Yeah, like, who cares? Like,
because action changes with every era, and like mm-hmm. you could probably go back to other movies and point that out, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's a trope
like
in
Captain
martial
America's
arts
like
movies.
Like a martial arts
everybody,
fighter.
Yeah,
that's what
everybody
I mean.
Everybody in martial arts movies knows karate, so it's like, yeah. Who cares? Who
what
gives
superhero
a shit?
Or supervillain isn't? I would be shocked if the Joker knew karate. I think because everybody knows the Joker enough to know that would be weird.
Yeah, they did it in one version, The Batman, which is an animated show. But they like fundamentally changed. Like the Joker was like a big dude in the Batman cartoon.
Yeah, I would say,
and he fought like Eddie Gordo from Tekken. It was pretty wild.
Why?
The Batman was kind of the point of the Batman was like, it was like, let's kind of like subvert these characters. Like I think Batman has claws in it. Like
nice.
It's, I haven't. Well, I mean, we'll get to it on Tom and Jeff, I'm
yes,
sure. But
yeah. That I do get sort of the criticism where it's like, yeah, she could fight in more of a brawler way, I guess, and more of dirty fighting way, and they could still do really cool choreography. But I would argue she doesn't know karate in this. It's just like cool John Wick action.
She does some
there's
stuff,
a lot of like kicking and flips and shit. Yeah,
she does like a lot of gymnastic and like headlock takedowns and stuff. But yeah, mostly she's just like wailing on people with a bat or a hammer.
It's also the cruelty in how she fights that really comes out that I liked.
Right,
she is changing people forever.
Yes, yeah, she hits like man. So
she puts
many,
a lot of people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, so many knees and elbows bending the wrong way. Like mm-hmm. she hits like joints. She's like Aikido or whatever. No, it's not Aikido. Yeah. Aikido's fake.
I don't know what it is. I just know that it looked like it hurt. The bouncing the bat off the ground. I don't know.
That was awesome. Yeah,
it didn't bother me. Again,
no,
I'm not
like
a
who,
big fan like, of the character. So maybe if you're a big fan of the character, there might be some problems.
No,
but as
none.
A casual
like, I
viewer
can,
I'm like, fuck yeah, John Wick fighting.
Yeah, I can tell you as a person who is a fan of Harley Quinn and has read right. plenty of her in comics and other media, this is correct. That's what yeah. she is.
I understand the nerddom, though. Like, I remember a big problem with the Star Wars prequels that never occurred to me until like a big Star Wars fan talked about is that who would ever do a flip while holding a lightsaber? That shit is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you watch the original Star Wars, they're fighting like their swords. And then when you add Kung Fu into that, it's just like it clearly was like they wanted to make it more exciting. But yeah. if you're a super nerd, you're like, that's dumb. So I understand it. But at the same time, a casual audience, for both, I guess, the prequels and this, it's like, no, have them flip around. Give me something to look at. I don't care.
Yeah.
Who gives a
fuck? Who gives a shit? Yeah. Who gives a shit?
Just excite me with this. And then have characters that I like, that are fun, interacting. You know, that's all we needed. I didn't need some tale about society like the Joker tried to do. I'm yeah. going to keep comparing it to Joker because it's DC films and both R-rated films. And obviously it's the Joker and Harley Quinn.
Right. And yeah, they're not connected, but the Joker is superheated space trash. I fucking hated that movie.
Yeah. And they're examples of DC doing an R-rated, we're yeah. going to take a risk film.
Yeah.
And I feel like because if this doesn't do good, and Joker did really good, they're going to learn the wrong lesson. But I guess that's what people want. I don't know yeah, why.
I don't know.
Shit. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I want to talk about Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. He's like, it feels a little shitty to say, but he's like the best part of the movie.
Well, he has.
He's so delightful as this fucking villain.
Yeah. I think he's the best part because we've never met him before. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn is great, but it's always the hero's boring, the villain's fun, like in terms of performances. He went nuts. The part where he learns that the driver betrayed him.
Yeah, Black Canary.
Black Canary, and he responds by crying.
Yep.
I was like, oh my god, that's
he's so
fucking
upset.
Great.
He's
you
so
whiny
upset.
Little shit.
Yeah.
He's a terrific villain in that he's not like, oh, I love him. Like, he's so bad, but he's so charismatic. No, he is a little whiny shit the whole movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, you just don't like him.
He does some very funny things, too.
Yes.
So,
yeah, oh, yeah.
He was wonderful. Really enjoyed that character.
Yeah, man. Man, Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez was killing it
as well.
Yeah.
It's just a drunk cop.
It's just drunk, pissed off Montoya. fucking Mr. X from the X-Files was her shitty captain.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shitty.
He was.
I guess the non-linear thing, the flipping around in time and stuff, I did feel it was necessary because this movie is all about a group of people, a group of women coming together to kind of, you know, it's the emancipation. It's them basically being like, you know, fuck, like not specifically men in their lives, but like fuck this system that I'm a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of all coming together at the same time, not liking each other very much, which I was really glad that is maintained and having a common problem and just being like, I guess we all have to fight our way out of it. And I liked that didn't come until the very end. And
yeah,
I didn't even,
why would it?
Yeah, and I didn't even think of that as what this... I didn't know what this movie was going to be, and so that hadn't crossed my mind, that clearly that's what's going to happen. And I feel like a dummy not realizing that.
Mm.
And then they did a good job at kind of just bringing them all together organically and all their wants and needs, like, being different, but then all kind of centering on, we have to save this kid.
Right, they intersect, yeah.
Yeah. Even the Huntress is just like, she just wants to get the fuck out of there, and that's
right.
enough.
She's like, well, I just walked into a whole bunch of shit I don't care about, so I'm just gonna leave.
Yeah, and then she can't leave, so she's like, okay, yeah. I guess I'll team up with you guys.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole spectrum of people giving a shit, which I really like.
Yeah. They do a couple of moments where they try to make you feel bad for Harley. And it, like when yes. the restaurant owner dimes her out and gives away her location, and she's like really upset about it. She's like, but it's me. He's like, I'm sorry, it's business. And it's like, you do feel bad for Harley because she's the main character and you like her, but it's like, they also, the movie's constantly reminding you that she's like a mass murderer and a crazy person. It's like, yeah, I mean, people aren't going to like you and kind of fuck you. Like,
yeah, this has the Suicide Squad problem. It has... I don't know why DC decided to do this. That's what we were talking about with the Sinister Six. I feel like it's going to have the same problem, which is that like a whole movie about a villain.
Well, there'll be a few in there that you could, like Venom will probably get mixed up in Sinister Six somehow.
Yeah.
And he's already, they've established him in the movies as an antihero. Vulture's not 100% bad.
Yeah, and I am glad with Harley Quinn. What I was scared of is that she was going to, it's going to be her arc was going to do the right thing. You got to be a good guy now.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And they make her, she's not a good guy at the end.
Nope.
And I appreciated that. I was very aware of it. And one of the first scenes made me think, oh, no, I'm not going to like this, is the scene of her drunk at the club. Mm-hmm. And she's just insufferable in that scene because she's supposed to be.
Right, yeah, she's
but
real
it,
shitty.
It was a terrible introduction to her character. And it's I knew that it was part of an arc that was coming, because the arc is basically, it's she doesn't change from that, but she just becomes self-reliant and has the confidence in herself to go on her own by the end. But that scene where she's like vomiting she's just the drunk asshole at a party.
Yeah.
That's like breaking stuff, and I've just experienced so many of those that I was instantly like, oh no, you're making me not like this character right now.
Yeah,
and it's the first scene.
Yeah, I think that's the point, because like everybody
point.
Later on like she sees Black Canary outside, she's like, oh, you're the singer lady that nobody listens to.
Yeah,
she's like,
you're the piece of shit.
She says, you're the asshole nobody likes.
Yeah, no I know, like, that was right. the point it just
The second half of the movie, when Black Mask like puts out like just a general price on her head.
Yeah, and everybody. That's extremely the point, because the idea is when it's announced she broke up with Joker, all the people that she's fucked over come back to haunt her, and that's
right.
The whole thing. And I was scared the arc was gonna be, geez, I should have not been bad to those people. It's not that. It's like, oh, I don't need the Joker to protect me from all the people I were was bad
right.
to.
Like the end of her arc is that scene on the pier where she's like, you see Roman, like she's like, your protection and the Joker's protection is only exists because people are scared of you guys. She's like, you know what? People should be fucking scared of me too.
Yeah. And it was,
that's the realization she cut. Like, that's the completion of her arc. Is like, I am like a terrifying person.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's the same why I think the core of Deadpool worked, and why that was popular, is that at the end he just executes the bad guy because he's like, no, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna have an arc. I'm not gonna become good. And I appreciated them not doing that to Harley Quinn, where it's she's technically the protagonist, but like Deadpool, she's just murdering people.
Oh yeah,
and is a sociopath. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what she is.
Yes,
and it's a larger question about like why are we having movies like this where this is the central character? And
I don't know.
I mean, the answer
it's,
is
it's fun to shake things up once in a while.
I was gonna say, the answer is like, why does a serial killer start eating somebody? Because they've been doing it for so long, they need to change things up.
Yeah
We're those serial killers.
Yes, we are.
And we're like, look, we've had enough stories about Batman fighting a villain, let's play with the villains. Have some fun with them.
Let's see what the villains do when they're left at like doggy daycare for the day because Batman's gone.
Yeah,
let's see how they fight with each other.
There was the moment, or the egg sandwich, that was probably the most Deadpool moment.
Yes, correct.
And it managed to go by without, and I think this is primarily on Margot Robbie, is that I didn't mind it because she sells it and it's fun, and it's not like they don't spend too much attention on it. But that scene made me realize, because it's her going up for breakfast and she's just walking down the street. dressed as Harley Quinn. And it occurred to me, like, oh yeah, I think the Joker would do this too, right? Like, somewhere there's a neighborhood where people are just used to the Joker coming out, and Harley Quinn, in this case, just coming out and having breakfast, and they're super villains. That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Like, watching this movie made me want to see more DC movies that were kind of like this, where you get to see, like the villains existing at, like, the ground level.
Yeah.
Like, it was all the Harley stuff was fun, just, like, how she's just, like, a real pain in the ass in, like, every neighborhood of Gotham.
Yeah, here's what I think DC realized about themselves, is their villains are far more interesting than their heroes.
Oh, yeah, that's almost always the case.
Yeah, but not in Marvel. Marvel's the opposite.
That's for the most part, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Marvel's strength is the villains are sort of, you know, they're crazy Nazis. They're people who don't walk down the street and have normal lives. They're like gods, that, you know? And DC realized not only are our villains the most interesting part, but they're largely, like, just people.
Yeah.
For the most part.
It's certainly for Batman.
Yes. And people, I think Batman are the most iconic villains, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
We know the villains the most. We've spent the most time getting introduced to them through, like, the previous Batman films. And so
with cartoon and the show and everything, yeah.
Yeah, it is really smart of them to focus on the villains realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, of course, that they're villains. And I'm not sure what to do with them.
You can still make a fun story. I mean, like fucking Reservoir Dogs.
Movie.
It's not the first movie about gangsters.
No, not at all. Not at all. But superhero theme. Like, there's people, you know, when you went and saw this in theaters, there were people with their kids.
There weren't any kids in my theater, but...
Okay. It's playing to a different audience that's riskier, right?
True. Yes, very much so.
Because old dads will go see gangster films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's a genre that's very much embedded, where there's the audience for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, supervillain films, they got to sort of find their audience, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm not sure they have yet. And I hate to think that the secret is in a couple years to make a grounded Harley Quinn movie where it's...
Ew.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what's fun about the character. Like, I mean, that's not what's fun about the Joker. Like,
exactly.
God,
but
like,
that's
God
the most
it.
Successful thing
right,
that's happened to them. And it's like, oh no.
Yep, that's a shame.
Yeah, what lesson are they going to learn?
Shame.
Because I don't trust DC to understand this. They seem so lost.
Definitely in the films, for sure.
Yeah.
They need to bring they need to bring over some of their comics writers and not, like, I don't know.
Did this
not just like adapt storylines or like things like that?
Right. Does this have a storyline it adapted from?
The Birds of Prey was a title. I think not created by Gail Simone, but she like really shaped it into what it is. I think I could be wrong. This is what we need Jeff for. But I'm not sure that this is based on any specific storyline. One of the reasons I say that is because Cassandra Cain, the pickpocket.
Uh huh.
In comics, is Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she becomes Batwoman.
That's confusing. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, like, you know, she grew up wealthy, and, like, I mean, it's, I guess this orphan pickpocket child could still conceivably be Bruce Wayne's cousin, but it doesn't seem like it.
Right.
So I don't know that this is based on any, it probably draws, I mean, all these movies, every comic book movie tends to draw certain plot points or elements or images from established comic storylines. Well, yeah, and like certain events or like I said, plot points or images or stuff were frequently drawn from specific storylines. But I don't think this is an adaptation of any one particular one. But I could be wrong.
Right, Ewan McGregor. He's Black Mask? Is that it?
Black Mask. Yeah, Black Mask.
That's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he puts on a black mask. He's just a gangster. Like, that's all. That's this whole thing.
I was wondering if they had, like, I couldn't tell if he was in the comics more elaborate and they had just grounded him for this.
Nope. He is just a crime boss.
Okay.
In the comics.
Yeah.
He wears a mask.
He sure does.
Zaz is a little different in this movie than what he normally is.
What's Zaz?
Zaz is, was Chris Messina, the guy, the his hitman.
Oh, okay.
The guy
with
carved
all the shit all over his face.
Yeah, the guy who carved, every time he kills somebody, he cuts a little tally mark into his skin. Zaz in the comics is like this creepy-ass serial killer who murders people and stages them like still life photos.
Oh, so they gave him a little touch of that.
He has a touch of it, but he's just kind of like a mob enforcer in this.
Yeah.
Which may be how he is I haven't read a lot of recent DC, so they may have updated him to be like that, but like classic Zaz is not that.
Okay.
But Chris Messina does a really fun performance.
Yeah, he's great.
It was pretty great. Yeah. I had not seen him play a character like that before.
Yeah. The performances are great. The people seem to be enjoying it. The directing, I like the directing. I didn't really pay too much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just all over the place. And that's by design.
But it was never confusing.
Yeah, I like the part where she was going through the crime scene and they kept it within the shot, flipping
that was
from
cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It's not really about the direction. I was gonna say I like that she's not in it much, but Mary Elizabeth Winstead's performance as Huntress is really fun.
Yes. Well, they needed someone like that. They needed basically a Batman. Someone who's the straight man,
she's almost like
woman.
Spock.
She's like, yeah.
She's like, doesn't really like, she doesn't understand like a lot of the things they're doing.
Yeah, because her whole life is vengeance. Her family was murdered in front of her.
Right, right.
And one henchman had compassion and saved her, and then she grew up to learn to murder with a fucking crossbow, and then everybody's kind of making fun of that fact, and I like it because it's like she's insular, like she's a nerd.
Yes, and she takes herself very seriously.
Yeah, and so. That was lovely. They did a good job at bringing together these very different personalities.
Right, I like that they made them not just like the same character, you know what I mean, because that would be particularly with like Black Canary and Huntress, because they're both superheroes, so it's like, well, it would be very easy to just make them kind of the same character, and they're not at all, which is good.
Yeah for sure. Oh, here's something. Okay, the only thing I absolutely hated, fucking the magic scream.
Yeah, that's,
I assume that's Black Canary's character in the comics, right?
Yeah, that's her superpower. Yeah,
it was the only reason I hated it, because we had gone so long without a goddamn superpower, and then they whipped that out, and I was like, ah, fuck.
They hinted at it earlier when she shatters the glass with her voice, and like Montoya mentions it to her, you have the same power as your mom, you could be helping us. She's like, no, fuck that. She got killed in the street, and the cops were not there. I was orphaned. Like, you guys didn't help me out at all.
Oh, they set up the super. They set up the weirdest thing. They set up Harley Quinn on roller skates, which that's, I didn't think they needed to set up, but it kind of happened organically anyway, so
yeah. And Harley seems like the kind of woman who would be into roller derby.
Of
I was like, yeah, that checks
is.
Out yeah, yeah, of course she is. She looks like a roller derby character. I can see that being, and I heard some people at Collider complaining about that as well. Just I get it, because it is, nobody's had superpowers up until that point. So it is a little like, oh, wow, that's jarring. I wasn't expecting that.
I think what I like about this character, what I'm looking forward to in Black Widow, I'm really looking forward to Black Widow for this reason, is that, and I've said this on Hypecast, is in a world of superheroes, I love the characters that aren't super. And they just have to work really hard and be fucking ninjas. Because that's why... If I have no complaint with Harley Quinn knowing how to fight like that, because of course she would, because she's in a world where Batman exists.
And Batman doesn't have powers.
No, but also Superman and also Aquaman. But you know what I mean? She's in a world that's over the top, and to be a villain, to be a criminal in this world, I imagine you just have to know that shit now, right? To hold your own.
Yeah.
And that's what I always liked about Black Widow as a character. She's fighting alongside the Hulk. Not because she's has superpowers, because she fucking earned it and was just like, yeah, I've done a lot of fucking practice, and now I can just like beat people up really easily. So I don't know, and that's why it sort of fit for me, because in this universe, you kind of have to know, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a cool idea. Is this is, you know, like has there been a movie where they fight a villain that's superpowered? A bunch of people who aren't.
Technically Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, that was a real problem.
Once El Diablo dies.
Yeah, see, El Diablo is still there, and he turns into a goddamn giant demon.
He sure does.
I like that dynamic. If you want to give me an actual underdog story, have a bunch of people who don't have superpowers fighting someone with a superpower.
The Boys.
Oh, I haven't watched The Boys.
It's pretty okay. I enjoy
it. Now that apparently has that dynamic in it, I'll have to check it out.
That's the entire point of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so I really, like, Ewan McGregor doesn't have a superpower in this, but at least it was like, oh, it's a bunch of mortals fighting in mortal combat. They're doing combat.
Mortal combat.
Yeah, and then she whipped at the scream, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah,
you're
it's
almost
also,
there.
It's also, I mean, no... Not to put down the character, but it's also like one of the dumbest superpowers. Like
yeah,
Banshee,
I mean, speaking
Banshee
of Mortal Kombat,
Banshee and X-Men is dumb as hell too. It's like what the fuck is that power? Yeah. Get out of here! That looks
and
stupid.
She didn't need it because I was really enjoying the character. I mean, it didn't ruin it or anything. It was just frustrating because I liked the character. I was with the movie at that point, and I just didn't need that. When all those people showed up outside, I was really excited because I was like, oh shit, they're going to have to get out of this.
Yeah.
All with just bats. And like when they show that they don't have guns.
Right.
It was like, that was delightful.
Yeah, that was a fun gag where she opens up her cupboard. It's like, will this do? And I'm just like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
And it's totally empty because the Joker took it all.
Yeah. She's just pissing them. I like because it's underdogs. It's all underdogs. And that's perfect. That's where we need more of that in superhero movies because they're. By definition, they're not underdogs.
No.
And so the moment they walk outside and there's all those people, I was like, ah, fuck, here we go. And then she screams them all away. And it was like, well, that was easy.
There's a couple of things about this last sequence that I want to talk about.
Okay.
When they first get to Amusement Mile, which they've taken, Harley's taken Cassandra Cain, the orphan there, to trade her. To Black Mask because she swallowed a diamond that Black Mask wants, and it's like she's trading the kid so that Black Mask won't kill her. All the bad guys show up. All the heroes show up, and then they kill Zaz. And then they're all like trying to fight with each other over like everything. And then the kid gets free and has a gun and is like pointing at her. She's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I like that moment.
That stopped me in my tracks because I was like, oh, that's a bad. That's like a bad editing because, like, yeah, you
Really?
Know what the fuck is going on. You swallowed a diamond, like,
that's
and
true.
She explicitly knows what's going on.
I do like the idea of the kid having the gun and being like, okay, I've had enough of this shit,
right? But it was just like it's a fun moment, but it's like it doesn't work.
No, you're right. Technically, it doesn't work. I was delighted by it. I was stupidly tricked by it because I wasn't thinking about that.
There's also some. The fight scene itself is like the final fight through the amusement mile. There's some, you can tell there was a lot of like reshoots because there's a lot of like there's a couple of weird, like the scene where Huntress hands her the toy car and tells us like, okay, keep down, just squeeze this as hard as you can. You shouldn't see any of this. And she's like, oh, and it's like a nice moment. And she's like, okay, I will. And then Huntress runs away. Literally, they cut to the very next shot, and it's the orphan running up to Black Canary. So it's like, oh, that didn't matter at all. Like,
no, it didn't. She didn't listen to her at all.
Like, what was the point of that? And then, like, the hammer keeps teleporting. I don't know if you noticed that.
You know what I think it is? What we're talking about here isn't necessarily reshoots. It's someone being like, you need to cut the movie by 10 minutes.
Probably,
and they're like, okay, a little snip here, a little snip there. Let's get rid of these three shots. Like,
it's weird.
They compressed it.
Yeah.
And it's disorienting because they compressed it.
I think the toy car might be a reshoot thing because it's a plant payoff because they pay
it
off in the Mexican restaurant. But like it's like there were some problems in the finale. Like the what I was about to say is the hammer teleports around. Like Harley will be, we'll see Harley bash somebody with it, and again, literally the very next shot will be Black Canary bashing somebody with it.
Right, and I bet there was a really cool version where they're throwing the hammer to each other.
Right, and then once they beat up everybody in Amusement Mile, this was like the most glaring thing. It's like right before Black Canary screams them all away. Like they're just strolling out like, yay, we did it. I'm like, are you guys, A, not looking ahead, B, have completely forgotten that Black Mask is out there with an army of guys with machine guns. It was like, that was the part that actually like,
that was really weird.
That was dumb. It was like, what the what?
Again, there's a couple moments like that. There's that. There's out the explosion.
The explosion, yeah.
I was just in a mood to forgive it because I was enjoying the film.
Of course, yeah, yeah. I just, I would be.
But they're definitely, these don't, I guess, I wouldn't be surprised if there were reshoots, but I also wouldn't be surprised.
Famously were reshoots.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But okay, let me rephrase. I wouldn't be surprised if these were the results of reshoots, but I also wouldn't be surprised if this was the result of like they had to cut it down in editing. There were like scenes, like I could see a director's cut of this just making more sense.
Possibly.
It's not a mess like Suicide Squad, that's for sure.
No, but it does share a few problems with Suicide Squad,
right.
Which, and I would be remiss if I didn't point that out.
That's, oh, yeah.
You know, like, I totally enjoyed this movie, and like that shitty stuff came out. I was like, well, that's fucking dumb. And then I just immediately stopped caring about it because the movie was entertaining.
Yeah, especially since you'd think they'd be really on that because of Suicide Squad. You'd think they'd be like, no.
Like the stuff I pointed out seems nitpicky, maybe, but it's real sloppy in terms of filmmaking. So it's like, what the fuck, guys? Like,
yeah, to quote Red Letter Media, you might not have noticed, but your brain did.
Yeah.
It's that. It's these are little things that might make the movie feel disjointed or like incomplete, and you won't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
Yeah.
I was. Yeah, like I wasn't that, I didn't mind it too much just because, maybe also because I had no expectations or standards for this movie. And yeah, like I said, the scream stuff, I was really, I guess the things that bothered me were more the like character stuff. If like I said, the scream, that was the only moment that made me go, ah, come on.
Sure, yeah.
Other than that, I was with it for the most part. I was aware of its faults, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. It's like, who gives a shit? Is kind of my thoughts.
Yeah,
I know
that's
the. This is the point of the podcast, is to talk about this stuff.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and ultimately, ultimately, like I said, it didn't affect my enjoy. Like I still really enjoyed the film.
Yeah. What it is you did a better job at paying attention to that stuff, because when we talk about a movie that we just weren't involved in, that we didn't like, it's way easier to point that shit out. We've talked about this. Like, me personally, when I'm not enjoying a film, then I need something to do. So it's like, oh, okay, now I'm noticing all the fucking problems with this.
Right.
But they did a good job at tricking me personally at not noticing a lot of this shit.
There's so much charisma in all of the characters, and like the action sequences are so well done. And
yeah,
I know that,
and most
that
of them,
was...
except that, that definitely that ending kind of lost me for a few. Like, I liked the look of it.
It was, yeah, it was real. It was real janky and like they were.
That was also.
Yeah, it was. They were like bouncing across different funhouse things. Like it was. I get what they were going for, and it mostly worked. But that the ending sequence was a little.
I liked the dock. That setting,
oh, the dock,
I liked.
Was fun. Yeah,
yeah, but it felt like part of a montage of a team getting together. You know what I mean? Where it's like, it didn't feel like not the doc. I mean, the stuff before felt like it was an act one action scene, which I think is actually a good thing. I appreciate a movie that ends in just a car chase and not, you know, a blue laser in the sky and giant explosions.
Right.
And, shit.
And it was a car chase with a fun game. Like, she was doing roller derby to chase the car.
Yeah. The car shit and the motorcycle shit was great.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
But I think just that Amusement Mile, just that outside stuff and the funhouse stuff, that felt like the weakest moment of the movie.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt, I don't know, there was something wrong with it.
Yeah,
as you were pointing out.
As I pointed out, like, yeah, there is something wrong with it.
Yeah, and my eyes kind of glazed over for that, but they caught me right back. I like the look of it. The fucking, what's it called?
Yeah.
The booby trap?
Yeah, the booby trap, yeah.
It was real creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Overall, I really enjoyed it, though. Yeah, Batman didn't show up. He didn't need to show up.
If you sit to the very end of the credits, and this is, it's just a fun little gag, but there's no end credit scene or anything.
I had to pee. I'm so glad there was no...
Yeah. The very end of the credits is just Harley in a voiceover as the final crawl is going up screen. She's like, all right, you stuck around this long, so I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a little secret. Did you know that Batman... And then it stops.
Oh, that's cute.
So it's just like a fun little gag, but I by no
her...
means it's...
Yeah.
Worth sitting all the way through the credits if you're not like, unless you really just want to experience that gag. You could probably save it for DVD.
I liked her hyena.
Yeah.
I appreciated that it was CGI because I don't know how else you would do that.
Lord in heaven. You couldn't, she puts her face right in the hyena's face several times. Like, you couldn't.
I feel like there's a version of Hollywood that could get away with that, but it would mean either endangering the actor or like severely drugging a hyena, and I don't want either of that. So
no, neither of those situations are ideal. Just make it CG. Like, what's the CG is for.
Yeah. Like, I hope there's behind the scenes of some confused fucking dog wrapped in green like fabric.
Oh, I'm sure
stand-in. I want a confused but a cooperative dog stand-in. I know there wasn't. I want that for myself. That she makes eat a guy, because again, she's a villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but
well,
yeah,
fuck that guy.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. He was creepy.
He was a sex pest.
Yeah, he was. They didn't do too many of the sex pest thing, which. They didn't make, like, every guy a sex pest.
No, but I did appreciate that.
They did make,
that.
Like, every guy kind of a bastard.
Well, every guy in this movie is a son of a bitch.
And I only just noticed that.
Except for the one who saves Huntress and lets her go train with his relatives. I did appreciate the scene where, like, Canary has to save Harley from the... Because she's so drunk. And she's about to get abducted by these two guys.
Yeah, she doesn't like her, but she's like, all right.
She's like, I can't let this... Oh, and the scene when Black Mask is humiliating that woman in his club.
Oh, man.
That was, yeah. Canary, I liked her. Like, she, like, a tear rolls out, and she tries to leave, and Roman's like, no, you can't leave. You have to stay here close to me.
Yeah, and that felt like they were like, we're worried that people will like you and McGregor. Even though we've seen him peel people's faces off... So let's just like really make sure we hate this guy.
Yeah.
And that was, let's really earn that getting blown up by a grenade. While
that was very funny.
Pinwheeling off of a duck.
Yeah.
Oh, that was delicious.
He makes like a funny noise too. And he's like, when it explodes.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Oh man.
I didn't mind that, like, all guys are bastards in this, because that felt like kind of the point. Like, the theme of the movie is her trying to free herself from this guy that was running her life. And Gotham is very much filled with crime guys. And she's also in a world of crime guys.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if that was necessarily intentional or if it's just, like, a function of... Well, comic books being largely male-dominated. You
well,
know?
That's
like,
the thing. Is I do think it's intentional because it's... I guess it's technically a feminist story in that why I say technically is because I didn't even think about it while I was watching, is because it's about her identity has been another man her whole time.
Yes.
And she's feels like she's going from one man to another. And then it's like even the good men in her life. Oh, except for the guy who makes the egg and cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
He's good. But the guy, the landlord, like, he betrays her, and it's the idea of men she thought were good turned out to be... I know she's a villain. She's an
insane murderer. Like, I would have also dimed that lady out.
From her as a protagonist, it's about her realizing that she has to sort of rely on herself and breaking free from that, and I get that. But yes, she's also a criminal who murders people, so it's weird.
Very little provocation, too.
Yeah. So. But I also, I don't know. The criminal that murders people, again, if we're on Deadpool's side, if we're on Batman's side, because Batman is a criminal who murders people, isn't he?
Officially, no. He usually doesn't kill people.
Yes, but he is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in this universe, he is. He's an old guy played by Ben Affleck who murders people and burns their skin. And I get that they're also bad guys. But they're also bad guys in this.
Right, but I mean, you're missing a fundamental difference between...
I know.
Like,
all I'm saying is that I'm like, I don't see why we as audiences can't just be on her side if we're on other...
We were on her side.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just pointing out that it was, like, in thinking about it after the fact, it's like, well, why are we supposed to be shitting on this, like, restaurant owner? Yeah. I would have made that deal. She's a serial killer.
Yeah, they make it like it's about the money, but they could have made her be like, him be like, you have a hyena. Like, it is a dangerous creature. You are a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to dime you out.
Yeah, I like you personally, but, like...
Yeah.
I can't have all these gangsters coming to my restaurant blowing the place up. Like, yeah. Eventually they're just going to kill me.
What did you think?
So I'd rather get out of the way.
I got grandkids, goddammit. I'm like 75.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I have.
But yeah. I think that's a sode. We have completed an episode.
Yeah. Thanks for,
yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Check out our Patreon, you guys. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, which is sort of what this is about.
Kinda.
Not really.
No, he does not appear.
He does not appear. And Fox Mulder is a maniac. Yeah, so check that shit out. We also have tiers where you can be a podcast producer for our Hypecast, or you can have us watch movies of your desire.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want.
Yeah, it's also a tier where you can watch movies with us every Friday night.
That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for us to watch movies. A
lot of stuff on the table. We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers, all that good stuff. Check it out. And also, go ahead and leave us a review wherever you're listening to this, on Apple Podcasts or whatnot. It helps us out. It gets us more visible and gets us more listeners, which
does.
We appreciate.
We're in like the top 200 now, so we're moving up.
Yeah, we're moving on up. Yeah.
We beat out the, I think, Slash Film Cast. I think that's it's called, Slash Film.
Yeah, Slash Film is a place, yeah.
Yeah, we beat them out. So
cool.
Help us beat them all. Help us get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll rule this town,
baby.
Then we
will rule the world.
Uh-huh. Be throwing diamonds all over the place.
Be swallowing diamonds and shitting them out in a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, swallowing all the diamonds we want.
Just gulping them down.
Yeah, handfuls of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we die.
Just shoveling them into my greedy lips.
Yeah, they find our bloated corpses, and we're like little treasure chests.
We're like little treasure goblins.
Yeah, we are.
You smack
dragons.
Us and diamonds fly out.
Mmm.